Good morning and welcome to our Ag and Uncertain Times webinar series. This morning is the final of our June series, although we will be back in September. And so we want you to make sure that you're looking for those announcements when we're going to deal with marketing issues. But this morning is the last of our series on working within credit markets, and we are going to focus today on some of the tools that can help producers to work through their own financial analysis. I'm John Newkirk with Washington State University, and before I go any further though, I would like to thank the team that has put this series together, working in the background to try to keep me from making too many gaffes as we move forward with this. Our host this morning, with his hand on the big control, is John Hewitt at the University of Wyoming. Dwayne Griffith, who is a presenter, Montana State University, often plays that host role. John Nelson at Washington State University, and John, with his experience on boards of directors of the Farm Credit System and Farmer Mac, played a big role in identifying the previous presenters that we've had. Jeff Trunell at Colorado State University. Jeff's going to play a more important role as in our October series where we focus on farm and ranch family issues. Romero Lobo from the University of California has been a really important person here in helping pull the questions together and coming up with good questions when the rest of us run out. And Trent Tigerstrom, who is not with us this morning, from the University of Arizona. But that is the team that has worked hard to put this together. And I'd like to just thank them personally. They are going to continue working as we move forward, planning our September series. And our intent with this series has been to provide information useful for avoiding financial stress, as well as information that's helpful to those folks that find themselves in financial trouble. Our speakers have not only given us some analysis of the present, they've provided, I think, some really good insights in looking down the future, and we moved from the more general broad context to last week, where it got right down to what lending institutions are interested in working with individual borrowers. One of the things we've learned out of all of this is that probably we aren't out of our uncertain times yet, and that could possibly additional coming volatility. And in times like this, one of the things that several of the presenters emphasized was how important liquidity would be to individual operations, and that for many borrowers, the documentation requirements will go up. And we've got some real good insights into some programs and tools that can help you with the documentation. We want your involvement. We hope you join our post-webinar online discussion. We want our series to be flexible. We're looking for input for those future ones, and maybe we've missed something completely that we need to focus on in this series. And we want you to log on to our website. We'll provide you some information later on how to do that. Participate in the discussion that's going on there and give us some very direct feedback. If you would like to watch the slides with full screen, there's a full screen toggle. You see it down there. You click on that, put your cursor on it, click on it with your mouse. It'll go to full screen. And when you do that, the chat window that you see on the left disappears, so you can't enter questions for us. So if you just click on that full screen button again, and it'll come back to the view where you've got the chat window on the left. And as we will do right now, and as we go forward, we put polling questions up there that we'd really like you to vote on. As soon as they come on, you just click the solution there on it that fits you. Provided us some really valuable information. We've had folks watching from all across the country. This has been helpful as we think about the focus to future sessions. Speaking a bit about the technology, it's not perfect. We're learning as we go. There have been a few audio problems, although what we've found is that the majority of our listeners have not had audio problems. And I myself had a few when I was not quite so solid and firm of a connection. And so it's not always the case. Sometimes it is our fault. But occasionally it has to do with the speed of your connection and the amount of other traffic that happens to be on at that time. And if there are issues, if you enter them into the chat, one of our team will try to work with you to solve those. Ultimately, though, if something happens that you have problems you can't solve, all of our sessions are posted on our webpage, actually in a little bit better format, because one of our team edits them a little, cleans them up, so that they're there. You can view them in their entirety. The presentations by them, the slides by themselves are there, which you can download and look at or look at online. And fact is, I believe the slides from this morning are already up there if you wanted to download those. So we're learning with the technology. The program is good. It's not perfect. So if there are some glitches, bear with us. The other thing is we as a team are learning on how to manage this. And occasionally the left hand gets confused about what the right hand is doing. But if you aren't expecting a 60 minutes type of production, it's still really good information. We have two presenters this morning. I'll introduce them now, actually, while we're waiting for the last of the polling questions to come across. Dwayne Griffith will be on first. He's an Extension Farm Manager Specialist with Montana State University. I personally have worked with Dwayne now, I guess, for about 10 years and have come to really appreciate Dwayne's depth of understanding on farm management issues and his analytical ability to look at those and come up with some good solutions. He's been an innovator in terms of education and figuring out how to make what is sometimes a fairly dry subject interesting and useful to the folks that he's working with. His educational curriculum includes crop and livestock enterprise analysis, machinery management, and the marketing of agriculture commodities and complete farm ranch financial analysis. Montana State University, of course, is in Bozeman. Those of us that love the mountains think Dwayne's just got a gorgeous place to work, and we understand how he ever gets any work done living and working in that particular environment. We want you to present questions to the presenters, and you do that in this chat window and over here at the left side of your screen. And it's the little narrow window there below the bigger one that you type your question into, and you, when you're done, you just hit that return arrow, and that sends the questions to us. Our team, if there's multiple questions that are similar, they roll them into one, present them to me, and then I give them to the presenters. So I think without further ado, I've introduced Dwayne. I'll introduce Dale a little more when we get to his presentation. He will follow Dwayne. And Dwayne, go ahead and take it away.
We're going to talk about financial analysis this morning and use a tool to do that that really illustrates the concepts of financial analysis. And our discussion is going to be why we need a good financial analysis to make sure we have adequate planning for our operation. With that, then, our plan and approach for this morning is we're going to learn the why, not the how, of financial analysis. We're not going to worry too much about the detail you have to go through to get financial analysis completed, but focus on why it is important, what good financial analysis can tell us, and talk about how we get there to the end. We're going to use a program called RD Financial. RD stands for the Reader's Digest Condensed Version of Financial Statements. We want to measure business position and performance. These are historic measures. We're looking backwards, not forwards, projecting what might happen, but we want to actually know what did happen. We want to learn about the interaction among financial statements and the financial interaction amongst the family and business with respect to the financial statements and the impacts the family has on the business, and measure the impacts of different types of risks that have effects on financial health of the business. Now, I know most of you out there wouldn't ever raise that right foot, but go ahead, raise your hand. You're thinking about it. You do it every now and then. And this morning, when we talk about financial health, we're talking about the financial health impacts from production, financial marketing, institutional, and human resources. And we're going to focus on the financial health risks. And when you think about risk, financial health risks usually are unnecessary. If we did a really good job of doing our record-keeping, financial planning, and analysis, we wouldn't have to take unnecessary financial risk. We'd be well-informed and make decisions based on good information, but we often do take unnecessary risk. What should we measure in terms of measuring our financial health? Business position and business performance, both looking backwards. And how do we measure that? What's our tape measure? Well, we need a complete set of financial statements, beginning and ending balance sheets, the cash flow statement, income statement, accrual adjusted, and the statement of owner equity. Quite often those statements aren't all prepared. It's very common to have balance sheets and a cash flow or a Schedule F prepared for financial analysis. The income statement and the statement of owner equity are not prepared so much. But this complete set of statements allows reconciliation of the financial statements and helps keep us on track with the right kind of information. When we talk about reconciliation, well, what does that mean? We need to know how we got from point A to point B. And it's just like balancing a checkbook. You have a beginning cash balance. The bank sends you a statement every month. During the month, you have some activity, inflows, outflows, and the bank says you have this ending cash balance. And those two are linked. You can tell how you got from point A to point B. If we just expand that concept from thinking about a month-to-month reconciliation of a cash balance, we can do that with the entire business. We can measure business position and performance with that complete set of financial statements and reconcile those statements. With the financial statements, we start with beginning owner equity. We have some activity in the middle, just like a checking account. We have net income produced by the business, owner withdrawals, contributions, distributions, and change in valuation. And we can tell then how we got from point A, beginning net worth, to point B, ending net worth, via all of that activity in the middle. And as our first take-home message today, if you get nothing else, this is important here. I'm going to take three of those things off the table. We're not going to have any contributions. Suppose we're not going to have any distributions. And there's no change in valuation of equity. So as a simplifying assumption, if those three disappear, how is it that ending owner equity gets to be bigger than beginning owner equity? Well, there's only two things left, net income and withdrawals. Net income, as measured by an accrual adjusted income statement, has got to be more than owner withdrawals. That gives us the ability to earn growth in equity. If we can do that for typical ag operation, we're relatively financial healthy. Well, at some point, you need to worry about all the details. And our next speaker, Dale Nordquist, is going to help us worry about some of those details. But details can often be like swatting a beehive with a broom. Once you swat that beehive, you have to worry about all those details. You have to get them in the right place on the financial statements, and it can be just a little bit tedious. But not today. We're not going to worry about the details. We're going to back away from that set of details and talk about the different things that we're worried about or would like to be able to evaluate with financial statements. And here's a list of those. We're not going to cover every last one of them, but we'll cover two or three. And at the end of the session today, you'll get a link to download the software that we're going to use and some additional examples that cover these types of things. This is the financial statement that we're going to use here. This program is called RD Financial. This is the introductory screen. And I'm going to go through this very quickly in a very brief overview here. We can click on the financial tabs across the top. For example, edit crop expenses. We can build our own crop mix, change the crop budgets that are in this. As we step through the menu here on the right-hand side, the items change for each particular session, and there's help included in each of those sessions. Once we enter our data, we get to our basic set of financial statements. And a quick overview, we got the balance sheet in the upper left-hand corner, assets beginning and ending, liabilities beginning and ending. The gray box at the lower right corner of the balance sheet is the change in equity from beginning to the end of the year. We note that that's a negative $2,319. Our net worth is about $3.5 million at the end of the year on this operation. Right below that's a cash flow statement. We have inflows and outflows. And in this example, a positive cash flow, $19,520. The income statement on the right-hand edge indicates a net income of $47,681. And this is an accrual adjusted income statement. And something that we don't often see in agricultural operations is a statement owner equity. This indicates that the statement owner equity has a zero discrepancy, which means the statements are reconciled. If we move to the ratios tab, this looks at the Sweet 16 ratios. It displays the actual values of each one of those ratios in the right-hand column based on the financial information for this case farm. And in the center of the screen there, between the labels and the actual ratio values, are alert levels. If we want to learn more about the solvency ratios, we can mouse over that on-off button and a help message pops up that shows how those ratios are calculated and what information is used to calculate each one of those. And finally, there's a credit scoring tab. This is a model included here to explore credit scoring, just to let you know that lenders do use credit scoring in many instances to try to summarize the massive amounts of information available in a set of financial statements. They try to boil that down to a few numbers and have a term and an operating loan credit scoring model in the lower left corner of the screen here. The term loan credit score and the operating loan credit score are given for each of those models, or they're displayed at all times, irregardless of what model you're looking at. Let's go back to financial statements here. John mentioned that in the last few weeks we've had information presented by lenders at all levels indicating that liquidity was going to be an issue, and a stepped up level of information was going to be required of producers in terms of the information they had to supply. Well, with this condensed set of financial statements, it's not intended for a complete analysis. It's really intended for educational efforts. We can click on the menu here and explore some of the things we've been talking about in the last few weeks. At the bottom of the screen, when I select from the menu item, we get a set of sliders. And one of the things that we need to worry about here is the overall impact on financial statements. And we can do that in several ways with this particular program. For example, the center slider down here is crop revenue. What happens if the operation that we have here takes a 10% hit in crop revenue? As we move that slider down to 90%, that changes all of the information we have on all of the financial statements. Our net income is now down from 47,000 to just over 3,000. We have a zero net cash flow, and we have a negative change in equity, minus 46,000. We also have an operating loan carryover here of about $25,000. So that loss in income changes quite a few things on this particular case farm's financial information. We can do the same thing with cost. At the same time we take a 10% hit on revenue, we have a 5% increase in cost. So in a very broad sense, we can evaluate the impacts of potential revenue variations and cost variations on the financial health. We don't have to worry about, well, the price of this crop dropped by X amount, the cost of that input increased by X amount. In this situation, I really don't care. I want to know the overall impact. It doesn't matter what the crop mix is or the particular details. Just what's the overall impact of a 10% decline in revenue from crop revenue? And you can see in this case farm that impact can be substantial. But let's explore the relationship between these statements a little bit more. We now have a net income minus 13,000 with our revenue decrease, our crop cost increase. We are now losing about $63,206 a year in terms of a net equity change. And we have an operating loan carryover about $41,000. What's the relationship between these numbers? The negative 13, the minus 63, and this zero net cash flow. The statements are set up to illustrate what it means to have a complete set of financial information to evaluate and understand why that complete set of statements is necessary to look at what's going on. The take-home message here is that you need to have net income, just like that one slide where we have net income and withdrawals, all the other things are taken off. That one slide is represented by the statement of owner equity down here in the right-hand corner. And net income and owner withdrawals, if we look at that, then we ought to be able to see the relationships. One of the features of this program is I can hit the reset button down here in the corner. It changes everything back to the original condition. And in that original condition, what if I take owner withdrawals from $50,000, which are here on the outflow side of the cash flow statement, down to zero? If we look at the relationships here, net income is $47,681. Our owner withdrawals is $50,000. Those are the two factors we're saying affect our earned growth and equity. The difference between those two numbers is a minus $2,319. To evaluate impacts of owner withdrawals, I'll just zero that out. And sure enough, net income, $47,681, and net change in equity is exactly equal. As a producer or an educator, then I can learn how they talk to each other and the interaction of the family has on those financial statements. The ratios, as we evaluate financial information, we can run that owner withdrawals back up, and we can see that we do change several ratios on the screen. And as we go back down to zero, our liquidity and repayment capacity ratios are the ones that are most affected. That was one of the things that has been brought up in the last few presentations, that liquidity is a big factor. We can change the other ones and start to analyze what particular items are affecting particular ratios and how that might impact our business. And the same with the credit scoring. Whatever we're doing down here at the bottom, that impacts everything. And all we have to do is switch back and forth between tabs to evaluate a particular item within this particular program. I'm going to hit the reset button again here. It takes us back to the financial statements, resets everything to that paper copy that hopefully you have and you're following along with on the presentation here. And I want to take a look at a couple of specific examples. One of the things that has been mentioned in the last couple of weeks is we got to be careful about capital asset purchases. So this is a question I always like to ask when we're talking about financial analysis. If you go out and buy a capital asset, it's the end of the year, your accountant says that if you don't spend some money, you're going to pay a lot of taxes. We often get that advice from our tax preparer or accountant. If you buy that capital asset, does your equity increase, decrease, or stay the same? And this particular drop-down here on the menu allows us to evaluate capital asset purchases and what they do to our financial condition. Along the bottom of the screen here, the very first column with some blue text under that is the purchase price or value of the asset. The first item there is machinery. I'm going to double-click on that and say we're going to go out and buy $100,000 worth of equipment. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just going to cost us $100,000. That information is added to the ending balance sheet. Ending equipment balance is now $670,000 instead of $570,000 as it was before. On the outflow side of the cash flow statement, we have a $100,000 outflow during the purchase of this equipment. If you have that printout in front of you, you can see our net worth has not changed. All we have done is trade one asset for another, cash for iron. That's step one. But we only had $19,000 positive cash flow to start with. And spending $100,000 must have put us in a hole someplace. If we go up here and look at the operating loan carryover, that's $80,480. And it's easy to do the math in terms of the cash flow and the $100,000 to come up with that particular number. Well, we did talk to the bank, and the bank said that they would finance 90% of this. So we go down to the bottom of the screen then and put in the percent purchase price financed. It calculates or estimates a loan payment, the principal and interest portion of that loan. Now we have started to affect all of the statements. Our net income over here has dropped from $47,000 to $41,381. Cash flow is now positive again. We still have the $100,000 outflow on the outflow side, but we have a $90,000 loan proceeds inflow on the inflow side of the cash flow. We have gotten rid of our operating loan carryover, and we have, again, a positive ending cash balance. The decrease from 47 $6.81 to $47,381 is exactly equal to the $6,300 of interest that was accrued to the income statement when we incurred the financing charges. And just to complete the example here, we'll put a nice round number in there for asset depreciation. It's a $100,000 asset. It's going to last 10 years, so $10,000 a year. Again, we're ignoring several details on purpose just for simplification and illustration of the financial analysis. If we go back to the income statement, our net income is now $31,381. That's exactly $16,300 less than what it was before. $10,000 worth of depreciation and expense to the operation, and $6,300 of interest and expense to the operation. As that expense gets incorporated into the net income, that affects our balance sheet. We now have a negative change, $18,619 in equity, which is exactly $16,300 more than the negative $2,319 that was there before. So the take-home message, you cannot buy equity. A capital asset purchase actually reduces equity. So what do we have to do? Now that we've seen the results of the impact on the financial statements, we have at least some measure of what that capital asset has to do. It has to earn its own way. At least for the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to cost the business around $16,000. There's got to be some combination of an increase in revenue and or a decrease in cost to make up $16,000 just to get back to where we were before we started with the purchase of the capital asset. And of course, if we look at the ratios quickly, that increase in expense affects our ratios, and it has affected our credit scores just a little bit. So capital asset purchases is one of the things we was cautioned about in terms of the last few weeks worth of speakers, and this illustrates the impact on financial statements and why, in fact, lenders are worried about capital asset purchases at this particular time. I'm going to start back from scratch again and hit the reset button. We're back to our initial set of financial statements, and I want to show the impact of a stress farm operation and how we can get around that by the types of financial analysis that we do and maybe deceive ourselves a little bit. So I'm going to go through and stress this operation. I'm going to use the sliders and say, well, for whatever reason, the owner withdrawal on the operation is going to run up to about $70,000. Could be increased medical, other kinds of things for mom and dad who are getting it older. We could be bringing a kid back. Doesn't matter. That's a new strain on the operation. I'm going to reduce the crop revenue by 10% down to the 90% level. And I'm going to introduce an increased cost of production. We're kind of piling on this poor guy, and it shows. The net income is now minus $13,000. We have zero positive cash flow, and we have roughly a $62,000 operating loan carryover. As the year unfolds, this probably becomes obvious to the owner-operator of this particular case farm, and there'll be some steps taken to alleviate this financial stress. One of those possible steps is to use inventory and sell down inventory. On the balance sheet here in the ending column, you can see we have both $100,000 in both beginning, ending, and crops held for sale. I'm going to take that ending inventory down to $60,000, which means that I sold off some inventory because of this anticipated financial stress. Now, when I do that, that inventory is accrual adjusted to the income statement. It's a minus $40,000, and our net income drops to a negative $53,000 with that accrual adjustment. But on the other side, if I sold that inventory, I need to show it as cash. So under other cash business inflows, I show that $40,000 as a cash inflow on the income side of the cash flow statement to balance off the decline in inventory. Well, that cash infusion also gets illustrated or carried over to the income statement, and my net income on an accrual adjusted basis is back to the minus $13,206 where we started from. But I still have this $22,000 operating loan carryover and my net cash flow is zero.
So I could do more cash management with this operation. One of the things we can look at is swapping cash for credit. If we look at our menu here, click the swapping cash for credit option, and at the bottom of the screen then, we could, instead of paying cash for the out-of-pocket expenses we had planned to incur, we could put those on account. So I'll go down here to the ending value and increase our ending accounts payable to $30,000. Now that shows up on the ending balance sheet and adjusts the figures accordingly. But if I swapped that expected cash outflows for that accounts payable, then I want to reduce my actual cash outflows by $30,000. So I put a negative $30,000 in the outflow side of the cash flow statement under other business cash outflows and expenses. My net income is now back to a minus $13,206 because of the accrual adjustments that are taking place, indicating that while there's cash change hands, the business performance didn't change under an accrual adjusted system. The change in equity is a minus $84,000. I now have a positive annual net cash flow, $76,32, and I have zero net operating loan carryover. In addition to the cash management at the end of the year, we will often, with the stroke of a pen, increase asset values to change equity. So if we do that here in one final step, look at asset revaluation, we'll add a nice round $200,000 to the ending real estate balance on the balance sheet. It adds that information up here on the ending balance on the balance sheet. Our net income doesn't change, obviously. Still a minus $13,000. Our positive net cash flow from our cash management strategies. And now we have a positive $115,794 change in equity rather than a negative $84,000. But the statement owner equity indicates a negative $200,000 discrepancy. That shows that, in fact, we didn't earn that $200,000 asset valuation. It was with the stroke of a pen. So we have to tell our financial statements that, in fact, that was a stroke of a pen. We revalued assets to the tune of $200,000. We add that in. It shows up on our statement owner equity, and our discrepancy is back to zero. Well, it seemed like a tough year, but really we didn't do too bad. We had a positive cash flow, $7,600. We have a positive change in equity, $115,000. And this net income figure is still a little bit troubling. But let's do one more thing. Let's go back to a cash income statement. So I come down here and click on my cash income toggle. And now my accrual adjusted income statement changes to cash. The net income there is now positive, $53,479. I have a positive cash flow and a positive change in equity. All in all, it was a very good year, even though it seemed like it was tough. Or at least we can mislead ourselves by accumulating entries into our financial statements and our financial system that accumulate into some misleading information on the financial statements themselves. This can lead to financial disaster. What keeps us honest here is that the discrepancy figure on the statement owner equity says something is wrong here. The statements don't add up. You shouldn't quite believe the information that you're seeing on the financial statements. Go back and do some more work. In this case, all we have to do is click that cash income toggle on off to show that our net income business performance during the year, a minus $13,206.
With that, we must measure a business's financial position and historic performance. You wouldn't try to build a house without a tape measure. Financial statements are our tape measure in agriculture. And if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. You might end up with just a little bit of a crooked house. You have to be profitable. You have to be able to generate net worth internally. And you have to manage all types of risks. You pick that right foot up, That little boy is going to head down the hill. It might be a priced hill. It might be a lots of other kinds of hill. All of those are incorporated into the whole farm financial analysis in one form or another. How do we get there? Two approaches. There are lots of tools. This one is educational, but in the end, you do have to worry about the details. Dale Nordquist is going to follow here, and he'll talk about FinPAC and Ag Plan. IFFS is another tool, Fast Tools, and there are many others. Those are year-end sorts of analysis tools. You can put your records into those tools and get the complete detailed financial analysis that's required by your lender. The second approach is record-keeping systems. You can set up your day-to-day record-keeping systems to provide the absolute best set of information that is possible so that you can do the year-end analysis very quickly. Don't risk the financial health of your family and your business with frustration over preparing the detailed financial statements. Just do it. And with that, John, I will turn this back to you.
Dwayne, thank you. You've shown how for most actions there's a reaction. Right there on the screen, one of our earlier presenters made a really strong statement about being very careful about capital purchases in this era that we're in, and that any capital purchase must earn its own way. We also heard from several speakers about being very careful about decisions we make, or one particular financial decision that has other implications back through the business. And in the uncertain times we're in, you just have to be very careful about that. So, in your experience, Dwayne, what do you think is the single factor that prevents producers from completing a full set of financial statements?
I think the level of comfort they have with crunching numbers, the understanding of financial information and financial analysis. Producers are, by and large, production-oriented and trained, and they have that comfort level with the production activity. And they simply don't feel comfortable at all with financial analysis, and I think that holds them back a lot.
You've been involved working with producers, educating them around financial analysis and management. For our educators out there, the thing I often hear with producers is that they have a set of financial statements that the accountant has developed for them when they go to see their lender. They haven't really incorporated them into their own decision-making. What do you think are some of the keys so that producers actually take ownership of these statements and use them themselves in their own decision-making?
I think a simple understanding of the statements in terms of how they interact with each other, how they can be used to evaluate your financial business position and performance, and being able to use that information to make management decisions for your operation. You might have an operation that is as fine-tuned as it can possibly be, but it just doesn't generate enough net income. Hence, there's got to be some other source of income, say an off-farm job for one or more of the spouses, kids, those kinds of things to help with that activity. If you know what your financial situation is, you can make good management decisions based on that knowledge, and a good set of financials helps with that business plan, take ownership, and communicate with your lender about, yes, I know where I'm at with my operation, and this is where it is. Show a well-reasoned response in communications with your lender.
We've had a question come in, and we'll probably ask this of Dale as well, but we'll give you first crack at it, Dwayne. How can a young beginning producer go about developing liquidity if cash flow is a concern?
In most instances, it's pretty hard to show a purchase of agricultural land these days that will cash flow. You have to have help from a family member or some other source. One of the ways you can get into agriculture, though, is leasing. That minimizes your capital requirements, also minimizes your payments then in terms of principal and interest payments, and allows you to focus on getting a start with acquiring land that you don't own but control and help manage that cash flow need.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much. Next with us is Dale Nordquist, who is an extension economist and associate director of the Center for Farm Financial Management. which is in the Department of Applied Economics at the University of Minnesota. And Dale's special interests include farm business analysis, farm planning, and software development. And he has over 28 years of experience in teaching farm management and developing software tools for farm financial planning and analysis. He's been a major contributor to the design and development of the FinPAC farm financial planning analysis software, so there's really no one better to talk to us a bit about that this morning. And Center for Farm Financial Management has a number of excellent tools, and the whole concentration of that organization is around helping farmers and ranchers succeed. So, Dale, without further ado, I'm going to turn this to you, let you introduce your own presentation, and you're ready to wrap up. We'll have some questions for you, and thank you for joining us from Minnesota.
All right, John, thank you. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where you're at. Am I coming through okay, John?
You're sounding good.
All right. I've been asked this morning to talk a little bit about a couple of tools that we have available through our center here at the University of Minnesota. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of tools. The first one is going to be FinPAC, which is used broadly across the United States for financial planning and analysis. And then a new tool that we've developed in the last couple of years called AgPlan for ag business planning. So FinPAC is what Duane said. It gets into all the details of the financial analysis and the financial planning. It develops some of that documentation that we've been hearing that creditors are going to be asking more for in the next few months and years here. So it is the details, although I'm not going to go into many of the details this morning. I'm just going to try to provide a little overview of what FinPAC is and talk a little bit about what we might be able to do with it in these times of uncertainty. FinPAC is a whole farm financial analysis and planning system. A little bit about what it's not. It's not an accounting system, and we get that quite a bit, that people think that FinPAC is an accounting system. In reality, what it is a tool or a set of tools that helps you put your farm accounting records to use for making decisions in your business. It's been around for a long time. John said I've been around for over 28 years. I've actually been around for 32 years working at the University of Minnesota here, and FinPAC is older than me, so it's been around and been used a lot, been through a lot of different renditions. If you're one of those old dogs that used FinPAC or saw FinPAC during the 80s, I'll guarantee you it's a lot more user-friendly now. I guess we didn't know what user-friendly was back in those times. Our audience for FinPAC is three main audiences. It's used by a lot of educators across the country. It actually was spread across the country during the 1980s in the last financial crisis when universities and extension services across the country were looking for tools to help producers make some decisions about their future. And so we worked with the extension service, tried to make it user-friendly for all producers across the country and actually internationally. From that activity, some people who consider FinPAC to be only designed for financial problems, for producers who are in financial trouble, and we don't really like that. We consider FinPAC to be just as useful for producers who are looking for opportunities, looking for making changes in their business, to take advantage of opportunities that might be out there in their financial positions. But it does have some real applications and some real positives for use when we're looking at alternatives for producers who might be in some sort of financial difficulty and may need some restructuring of their debts or even more serious restructurings of their business. Our second audience is lenders. There's a lot of lenders across the country who use FinPAC for credit analysis and who we license the software to, and that's really a nice situation when we can have educators and lenders in the same area using the same financial tools. There's a lot of networking that can happen there. And of course, the third group is producers, individual producers who have FinPAC and use FinPAC to do some of the things some of the details for the things that Duane was talking about in terms of financial analysis and planning. FinPAC was designed around answering these three basic questions. Where am I in this business of agriculture? Where am I financially? Where do I want to be? And then how can I get there? So there's tools within the FinPAC toolbox to help us answer each of those questions. There's four major components of FinPAC. And each one of these is designed to help answer one of those questions. There really should be a fifth one, and that should be the balance sheet, because everything starts with the balance sheet. In order to complete any one of these analysis or planning activities, you need to start with a good solid balance sheet. And then we build from that kind of the foundation that balance sheet provides to either look at where you're at with the annual financial analysis, what we call FINAN. And that is the tool that would provide the kind of statements and ratio analysis on past performance that Duane was talking about. And then there's FinLIRB, long-range financial planning. It is pronounced FinLIRB, and that goes back a long ways too. But FinLIRB is the tool that we would use in a lot of educational applications where producers are looking at for alternatives, and it provides the ability to look at those alternatives on paper and compare those alternatives to what we're doing right now to make sure that any changes that are implemented look like they're going to be more profitable and pay the debts back at least as good or better than what we're doing right now. The third tool is monthly cash flow planning. And what we find is that it is the tool that lenders want to see that go along with loan proposals. Lenders that have FinPAC tend to use FinFlow the most. It's a detailed monthly cash flow planning tool. It allows you to step through the year or step through multiple years and plan your cash flow and look at the implications, the financial implications of all your activities for the year. And then the last one is the annual cash flow planning tool. It's like FinFlow, except it's not as detailed. It doesn't give you the monthly cash flow plan, but it does give you some of the accrual analysis that Duane was talking about. So a little bit more on each of these tools. FINAN, the year-end analysis. You can go one of two ways with FINAN. It provides a whole farm analysis to provide those financial statements and ratios that Duane was talking about. Look at your financial performance for the past year, the profitability, liquidity, and solvency position you're at, and a little bit of production performance, but not a lot of production performance. So we don't get into too much detail on production if we just do the whole farm analysis. And then if you really want to step it up, and this does take a lot better records, it takes a lot more time, and it's a lot more detailed, but you can step up to doing enterprise analysis and look at the profitability of each of your crop enterprises and each of your livestock enterprises. And that's the tool that's used by a lot of farm management associations and farm management education programs that use FinPAC around the country to help them look at some of this detailed financial analysis. As you use FinPAC, it builds a history for your farm, so it builds up a database of information so you can follow the trends from year to year. FinLIRB, we talked about that, the tool we use to look at some alternatives. What it does is it lines up or columns up your plans side by side. So you can look at, down the bottom there, it says up to 15 plans. It's a little crazy to think about doing 15 plans, but you can look at any number of plans side by side and compare them for long range profitability, debt repayment ability, and net worth growth. So FinLIRB is kind of the what-if tool in FinPAC, and it is the tool that we usually start out with when we're in an educational setting with a producer who is looking at some sort of major change in their business, or if they're looking at trying to solve some financial problems, we can use FinLurb to look at restructuring debt and some of those alternatives. FinFlow helps you step through then if you do find that direction you want to go, or if you're just doing an annual kind of planning activity. FinFlow takes you through the cash flow plan for the year. It can do up to 10 years of plans, either annually or monthly. It's the goal of basically any cash flow plan is to project the annual operating loan needs of the operation for the year. And so it does step through that monthly cash flow, projects the monthly operating loan needs, and also projects monthly crop and livestock inventories and does pro formas for the end of the year. So if you do 10 years, you get pro formas for each of those 10 year for income statements and balance sheets. And then the final one, the annual plan, is a kind of a quick and easy cash flow. It's different from if you know a little bit about FinPac, you know that all of those plans we've talked about so far depend on creating crop and livestock budgets for on a per acre and a per head basis, and then entering the number of each of those enterprises you're going to have in your plan. The annual plan does not require those crop and livestock budgets. It just builds off of your total for the past year, and then you can project those income and expense items into the future for the coming year. And it provides an annual summary of the cash flow, accrual income statements, just like FinFlow does, and the Farm Financial Standards ratios, which are part of all these tools that we're looking at. Talk a little bit about our lender audience. There's several tools here that are added for the lender version of FinPac that allow producers to look at their earned net worth change. If you think about what Dwayne said about the reconciliation of the balance sheets and the income statement, the earned net worth analysis lets us enter two balance sheets and basically work backwards from that reconciliation to arrive at the net farm income for the business. So it's a simple way to try to get some additional information if we're not doing the full accrual analysis. And risk rating or credit scoring tools, FSA forms, once you get your cash flow put together, you can have that cash flow printed out on FSA forms. Collateral analysis, and then there's a presentation manager for lenders that lets them put it all together with some narrative around the plan so they can deliver it to their loan committees. So if you are a lender and you want to learn more about that, there's the URL, finpacforlenders.com URL down there. You can take a look at that in more detail. And because we're talking to people from a long distance away and not everybody can afford to come to Minnesota to get trained up on these tools, or we've developed a full set of online training courses that goes with FinPac. So the FinPac online training will take you through the step-by-step how to complete all this stuff, but it'll also step you back and to talk a little bit about the reasons we're looking at some of this, the philosophy behind some of these things, some of the things that Dwayne was talking about in terms of understanding balance sheets and income statements and ratios and how they all fit together. So I think if you took all of that, I think it's over 40 hours of online presentation. Not everybody is going to use all of FinPac, so most people don't go through all of that, but it's a pretty good resource in place of coming here for a detailed training session, which we do offer here at the University of Minnesota too. Just a quick look at what FinPac looks like. I've just captured some FinPac slides here. Once we've opened an individual producer data file, this is Slim Jim sample, his farm, and I've got it open to the balance sheet section. So we can see here that we have completed balance sheets on this farm on January 1st every year since 1993. We've been really disciplined. Of course, you know, that's what you need to do if you're going to do some of those accrual analysis things that that Dwayne was talking about. You have to have your balance sheets lined up with your fiscal year. So we've been doing that to try to do a complete analysis on this operation. If we go into that January 1, 2008 balance sheet, the data entry looks like this. On the left, you have all the input screens that you need to complete. And here we're looking at the first screen of current assets. And you just go in and type in your amount of cash on hand on January 1st, 2008, and go right on down the line and fill in the blanks. If you do have more detail or want more detail than that, each of these sections has a detail screen behind it, so you can pop up the detail box and type in, here we've popped up the prepaid expenses detail, and we can make a list of all the prepaid expenses that this producer has made before the first of the year. And that's pretty much available behind all these cells to let the computer do that adding and subtracting for us instead of having to do it ourselves. This is the crop inventory page of the balance sheet. And so you just got a pull-down list for the crops in your area of the country, and then you just put in the information that we need to total up the inventory of crops. And I've jumped down now to the intermediate loans page, and this is what the data entry looks like. Quite a bit of detail for each individual loan. Remember, we're trying to capture as much detail as we can here on the balance sheets, so we can pull that forward into the plans and the analysis they're working on, so we don't have to re-enter all this information for instance, for the cash flow plan. We know exactly what the payment is going to be and when it's going to be made. So that's a little bit what the input for the balance sheet looks like. Once we get that all completed, we can click the preview button, and it looks like this. This is a section of the first page of the balance sheet, the total current assets, total current liabilities, and some of the detail that's included behind those numbers. We can provide quite a bit of detail to individual producers in terms of where they're at on their balance sheet, and then make that available if they want to their lenders they're working with. And also carry that forward then. If you go to the next year, you just make a copy of this balance sheet and most of the detail is already completed. You just have to change the information that's changed for the year. I've jumped forward now and I'm just looking at some output of some of the other tools. This is the output of FinLIRB, the long range planning tool. And here we have just the first page. And the idea here is that you would put together a base plan, the base plan in the first column there being what you're doing now, but projected out into the future, kind of a typical year plan. Some FSA would call this a typical year plan. It's really trying to put together a picture of the average year of this operation. And then compare that to whatever alternative plans they want to look at. In this case, this producer was looking at buying some land. So there's change in farm assets there, $480,000. They were looking at buying land and borrowing for the full $480,000. And I don't have the full output here, but you can see a little bit of what Dwayne was talking about, how financially it works to buy land. If we go down to the key financial measures down there toward the bottom, net farm income fell. Cash flow is now in deficit in this projection, and the net worth change per year was just a break even before, but now we're looking at a negative net worth change per year. So maybe that's not the alternative that this producer should be looking at this point in time. And the rest of the output just goes through some of the detail on how we get at some of those key financial measures and summary measures. Now I've jumped again to the fin flow, the cash flow projection, and this is a look at the executive summary, the very first page of the monthly cash flow projection, where we summarized on the top left there the cash flow for the year, the net cash flow generated by the operation for the year, and then some of the other key measures on the right side, the calculation of the term debt coverage ratio, and the Sweet 16 Farm Financial Standards measures. And then the next page will be the detailed monthly cash flows for the year. So FinPAC provides that detail that Dwayne was talking about in terms of putting together a complete financial analysis of the business and planning for the future. And a lot of producers and a lot of educators that use FinPAC intensely will work with a producer each year to complete the balance sheets, complete an analysis of the past year. And if it's just an ongoing business, then they come around and do the cash flow plan for the next year. And it becomes kind of a cycle of doing those activities and getting that feedback and building that history on the farm operation. And then if there's a need for something more detailed, then they might use a long-range plan, a FinLRB, to look at some alternative plans. The second tool I want to talk a little bit about this morning is AgPlan. AgPlan is a tool that we've just released in the last year or so. It's the Agricultural and Rural Business Planning website. And what it does is it gives you the ability to go online and develop a complete business plan for your farm business or for any business. If I go down to the next page here, designed for multiple rural business types, we've developed AgPlan to help us develop business plans for traditional commodity agriculture, but also for value-added agriculture, for rural small businesses, and actually for commercial fishing operations. If you don't know much about business planning lets us put together kind of the narrative of what we want to do with our farm business or with any business. So it lets you put together the mission statement for the business, helps you put together the goals of your operation, what you're trying to accomplish in your operation, and then lets you document how you're going to do that through an operation plan, a management plan, and a financial plan. So it just lets you put together a narrative on your operation to tell somebody, whether that be internal to yourself and the people you're working with in your business, or an external person like a lender, tells them what you're trying to accomplish in your farm business. And I guess I'd like to think about, you know, some of the information that producers do provide to lenders when they apply for loans, and a lot of cases that's not very much. And think about what kind of reaction a producer might get the first time they come into the lender and plop a nice completed business plan on their desk with a cover page and lets them document what their business is and what they want to accomplish, what their goals are, and how they're going to do that. So each business plan type of those four types of businesses has an outline of topics that might be included in a business plan. And it provides that structure for that operator to put together what they might include in a business plan. Most producers have little or no background in developing something like this. So it provides them a structure, whether that be an outline for a commodity operation or rural business or even a fishing operation. Provides some tips for what might be included in each section, and then it provides some sample plans that we've collected so that you can see what somebody else included in each one of those sections of the business plan. Here's what it looks like, and I hope you can see that. You might have to go to full screen mode to see what I'm looking at right now, but this is when you get into the website and have opened up your business plan. I'm looking at a sample plan called the More Milk Plan right now. And this producer has put together the beginnings of their business plan. On the left side there, you see the outline. And that's a static outline that of the sections that can be included. And we really stress that it's can be. We wouldn't encourage anybody to try to complete every one of those sections. That might be a little bit going too far. And if you plop that on the banker's desk, the desk might collapse. So you got to be a little careful with how much detail you get into. But this is pretty traditional for what a business plan might include, with executive summary and then some description of the business. And then most business plans have a section for documenting the operations plan for the business, the marketing plan, a management plan, and then a financial plan. The next section is where you actually build your business plan. And this is where you type in your plans, and it's just like a word processor. It lets you use traditional word processing tools to type in. You can also paste in spreadsheet tables or even paste in graphics if you want to. And then down below here, this is what makes this a little bit more than just a word processor. The tips, each one of these sections, as you step through the outline, there's a tip for what you might think about including in that section and what a mission statement is, what it might look like. And then as we step across that, resources, there are web-based resources that you can pull up and look at what somebody selected to look at what a, in this case, what a vision, mission, and goal statement might include. And then sample plans, is you can click on the tab for sample plans, and in this case we have three samples that you can look across and see what somebody else put in. And then the last thing, we don't have anything to show you here, but this is what really makes, from an educational standpoint, this is what really makes AgPlan work, is the ability to put in comments, because an individual can create their business plan, and let's say you're working, they're working with an educator to get started on it, then they can assign their educator as a reviewer of their business plan, and that allows, if they say they want that, that allows that educator to go in and look at the business plan and go in here and make comments on each section of the business plan. So this gives the producer the ability to really get some help as they're trying to struggle through this planning task. And a lot of cases around the country where producers are being introduced to the concept of business planning, and we think this is a pretty good tool for educators to help producers get started, and then they can go home, producers can work on their business plan on the web in the comfort of their home at the kitchen table, or and just using the comments so they can interact with that educator that they're working with if so desired. So this is the development team that was involved in AgPlan. Just want to give them some credit from around the country. We've had some help from several people who have quite a bit of knowledge of this, either from a technical standpoint or from doing a lot of business planning with producers. So I want to give each of these people some credit, including Trent Tigerstrom from Arizona, who's on this team. If you're interested in any of these tools, there's our website. We are at the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota. And AgPlan is free. Anybody can go and use AgPlan, so you can go to our website and find a link to AgPlan, or you can just go to www.agplan.umn.edu and go right in, register yourself, and start either looking at or using AgPlan to create business plans. If you're interested in FinPac, there is a price tag on FinPac, so if you're interested in it, you need to call us at that 800 number and we'll fill you in on the details of that. So with that, John, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Yes, Dale, thank you. This AgPlan tool is very timely, as increasing number of lenders are requiring a business plan of their borrowers. And I will speak to the audience and say, while I do a few questions here of Dale and Duane, whether we got some polling questions up there. But Dale, before I go back to one of the questions that I asked Duane, sir, what are the factors that prevent producers from completing a full set of financial statements?
I definitely concur with what Duane said. Most producers don't have any background in finance, and they don't have access to really these kind of tools to help them do it either. Producers in general don't have the experience and the background to do these kind of things. They tend to come up through the production systems, and so they just don't know where to get started.
But I guess that really doesn't take away the need, probably an important investment of their time to begin to learn that. But the question that I asked Duane that came in, how can a young and beginning producer go about developing liquidity if cash flow is a concern, or how do they work around some of those issues? What's your experience there?
I guess the way you lose working capital is by using your working capital to purchase, and a lot of times, capital assets. So I've heard a lot of people talk about how careful you need to be about purchasing capital assets, and I think that's doubly so now. You need to be really careful not to use up your working capital. You know, it's kind of hard to tell a producer who's got some cash or some assets around they're interested in and need to make some capital purchases to not use that working capital to make a big down payment or something. But you really need to think about that these days.
Okay, good. So I know you aren't a lender, but have a lot of experience with producers. What do you think, Duane, is the most common missing piece of financial information at loan renewal time?
Most lenders require a balance sheet and cash flow. Usually the cash flow is projected. So there's only one piece of historic information, which is the balance sheet, and that's an estimated, which many balance sheets are. The missing link in that, a measure of business performance, and that's the income statement. Very few operations build an income statement. They rely on the cash flow or the Schedule F. So they're never able to measure how they get from point A to point B. It's always a little bit of a mystery. And I think that income statement is absolutely necessary. In the future, as we move forward, that's one of the things that the previous speakers had said. If we're raising the bar a little bit on the kinds of information we want, the income statement and that statement owner equity should be prepared.
Dale, additional thoughts about that question?
I certainly agree. The only addition I would make is that if you have two balance sheets, so you can look at how much your net worth has changed for the last year, and if you try to keep the valuations of your assets the same from year to year, you can learn a lot just from your net worth change, whether you're making progress or not. It's not the full measure of performance of the farm business that Duane is talking about, but at least you get some feedback on whether you're moving forward or whether you're not moving forward by looking at your net worth change on the same day, preferably at the beginning of the fiscal year each year.
I'll start this to you, Dale, and I'm going to ask Duane to follow up as well. Some farm operations are fairly simple, and so what is the benefit of writing down a financial or business plan?
I don't think every business necessarily needs a complete, detailed business plan, but I think there's two potential benefits. One is you really sit and think through it instead of just doing it. You sit down and think about what you're really trying to accomplish yourself and communicate that. You know, if it's maybe a small operation, maybe you're just communicating that between yourself and your spouse, but you are trying to figure out if you're on the same path. And the other benefit is, in terms of accessing credit, I think there are some benefits to having something, however simple it might be, and it might not be a real detailed business plan, but to have something down on paper that says what you're trying to accomplish to deliver to your creditors.
And Duane, have you any additional thoughts there?
Well, I think Dale's right. It's a way to communicate with your partners, your family, your management team, and or your lender. Recent statistics showed that the vast majority of small farmers do that as a lifestyle, and if they're small enough, they have good off-farm income sources, then the need for financial analysis and a business plan is probably much less than a commercial or a going concern, a family that's trying to make their living in agriculture. So there is a little bit of a disparity there between operations that are going concerns and ones that may be classified more as a hobby type of an operation.
Here's a question. Do either of you have any comments about the adage, being the lowest cost producer, yet losing money? Dale, I'll give you first shot. I think it's a bit of a rhetorical question, but...
To be honest, it's an adage I had never heard, so I had to think about this a little bit. But, you know, if you're a commodity producer, if that's really what you're involved in, you do really need to worry about being a low-cost producer, but that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be making money, and so you still need to worry about the full business and look at the business as a whole instead of just looking at the pieces of the business. It's important to look at the pieces and look at your cost of production on each of the crops and livestock enterprises you're producing, but you still need to put that all together and see if you're really making progress financially.
Dwayne, any thoughts?
What occurs to me is that many operations are relatively small, and they might be extremely well managed. They're fine-tuned. They're wringing every last dollar of net income they can out of the operation. They're just simply not the right size. Capital investments can still be intensive in large operations. They can't generate enough net income to meet all of their payment needs, meet their family living. Not because they're not well managed, they're just not the right size. If you identify that with some good financial analysis, then you can start to make decisions and implement strategies to grow. Or the other strategy is go off-farm, supplement the farming operation with the off-farm inflows of some sort. So, yes, I'm low cost, I'm well managed, I'm just not big enough to make ends meet. So look for other sources.
We did have a comment come in that it's not really a question, but it is a thought on another way to raise seed capital, which has had some success, and that's for ag operated by buying enough land to spin off part of the land to niche farmers. And I think rather than giving the URL for that, if you just Google Skokomish Farms, you can probably get the website where they talk about that concept. I would add one additional reason that I discovered in part of my work in farm management, regardless of the size of operation, to have some decent set of financial records and a business plan. And often I used to have family educators who worked with us because it was a very important component of our farm management. And one of them had a statement, but it went something like this, and it goes, "But honey, my new refrigerator looks an awful lot like a baler." Anyway, creating a business plan, big, small, or indifferent, is often really important so that there's a clear understanding across the entire family about how this is affecting the family's bottom line, and we will deal more with that in our October series. But we've run well past our time. Thank you to Dwayne and Dale very much. There are a host of tools out there, as they said, IFFS. I think you can Google that, and it'll take you to a web page about those. FAST Tools, which I think you also can Google that. I think that's the University of Illinois. I'm not quite sure about that. The ones we've talked about here are proven, a lot of good experience with them. There are enough tools out there that the lack of very usable tools to work with is not a valid excuse anymore to do a meaningful piece of financial analysis. And it's more critical than ever. So a reminder, we'll be back in September with Operating in the Face of Uncertain Markets. We are not going to simply concentrate on commodity markets and the strategies there. We're going to talk some about value-added and niche direct markets, part of what are some of the issues for small farmers who are dependent upon direct markets and some of that.
our October series, Families Facing Uncertainty in Agriculture. And while we really hope no one is dealing with this, I think, I'm not going to guarantee this, but I think we're going to have a piece on the Federal Bankruptcy Law Chapter 12, which can be useful for family recovery in the process. November, operating in a risky environment, we're going to talk about a number of risk management strategies. And finally, I believe we're going to do this in December instead of January. Pulling it all together, we're going to do kind of a wrap-up. So come and join us on the web, Ag in Uncertain Times. You can just Google that, and it'll take you to our website. Join our blog, our interactive response. Earlier, you saw the Center for Farm Financial Management website. The Ag Risk Education Library will also get you there if you Google that. In today's world, you don't hardly have to remember what the actual website is. Here is a PDF publication that's got all of this web address information on it. So if you'll just click on that file, and then you'll see kind of in the bottom of that file sharing pod, it says save to my computer. And if you click on that, it'll lead you through to either open it or saving it onto your computer. I actually did it earlier, and it worked. I managed to make it work. And so that's a way to get all of this web information that we have here. And so thank you all very much. Hope this was useful to you, at least gave you a touch, to me, a real take-home message from Duane's, aside from the fact that we need to understand that for every action, there's a reaction. And there are some tools out there to help you see what they are. Sometimes the reaction is unintended. And in today's world, especially if you're needing operating capital, you're going to have a complete grasp of those, because as we heard from our presenters in previous webinars, they are looking at those very issues. So thank you. All of this information is up on our website for you to look at after the fact, pull the slide presentations down, look at them yourself, use them, email us, tell us what you think. Have a good day. Have a good summer. We'll see you in September. Thank you.